Isaiah 43, verse 19, from the New International Version. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
Well, here we are at the end of December, and we're on the cusp of a brand new year. We might say that this is a new beginning, a new start. Well, God wants us to look at the fact that He is a God of new things, a God of new beginnings. There are three different areas that we're going to look at today, and we're going to start with the area of salvation. Without Christ, you and I are in a position where we are enemies of God, where we deserve punishment for our sins, everything that we've done wrong, said wrong, or thought that was wrong. But the beautiful thing is that God did something about this. We just celebrated Christmas. Christmas was a time when God sent His Son Jesus to earth to be born as a baby, in order to grow up, to die for our sins, to pay the punishment Himself that we deserve. And in doing this, if we simply receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we become a part of the family of God, and our sins are forgiven, and we have a brand new start with God. It's as if God takes an eraser and erases the whiteboard of our lives with all the mistakes. He erases every single sin away when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And it's like fresh start. The board is clean. The slate is clean, as it were. In John 3:3, it says, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So this receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior allows us to be born again spiritually. We get a fresh start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we become brand new. We are not the same person that we were before. We are totally different. We have a different heart, which gives us different desires. We also gain a different way of thinking. Everything has become new. It is a brand new beginning. In John 1:12, it says this, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." So we have a fresh start with God. We have a new relationship, a relationship that says that we have become His child. That is a glorious, glorious new start with God. When I had received Jesus as Lord and Savior, I felt like I had crawled back into my mother's womb and had come out again, and I had a fresh, clean slate, fresh, clean start in life. Nothing to be held against me. It was a beautiful, beautiful realization, a wonderful thing that had happened in that transaction when I received Jesus as Lord and Savior. So a question God wants you to think about right now. Have you accepted God's new beginning with Him yet? Have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? It's an offer that is open to anybody who is willing. Now, who has ever messed up? Who's ever messed up really badly? I think all of us can attest to having done that at some point in our lives. The world says you're a write-off. In fact, there are elements of our culture that is into this thing called cancel culture. You're one and done. Never to be redeemed, just to be written off. Well, thank the Lord that He does not work that way. God is willing to give us a fresh start. Well, let's take a look at a guy named Peter in Scripture. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75, we see that Peter was in a courtyard, and he's being asked on three separate occasions, do you know who this Jesus is? Were you with this Jesus? And so on. And on these three separate occasions, he totally denies Jesus. Now for this is a big time mess up. And he deserved to be totally written off. And in fact, just before this, he had cut off somebody's ear when Jesus was going to be taken away in the garden. Another huge mistake. Again, by all rights, by today's culture, this cancel culture thing, Peter should have been totally written off. Never, ever to be acknowledged or used or anything again. But Jesus did what Jesus does. He went to Peter and he talked to him and he invited him back into serving him. After asking him several times, do you love me? Where's your heart here, Peter? He said, look after my sheep. Look after my sheep. This is Jesus inviting Peter back into restoration. He's inviting Peter to still be a part of his kingdom work. Now let's take a look at something that happened after Jesus invited him back. In Acts chapter 2, it says, this is when Peter stands up and he addresses a crowd after the Holy Spirit had come upon this group that were in this upper room. It says here, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And he starts to give this speech to this crowd. And listen to what he says in verse 22. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Here is Peter now acknowledging Jesus. He is no longer denying Jesus. A little further down in verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Doesn't sound like a denial to me. Verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them. He pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So by Jesus inviting Peter into restoration, inviting him back into ministry, look what takes place here. Peter no longer denies Jesus. In fact, he is proclaiming Jesus as Lord and Messiah. And as a result, about 3,000 were added to the kingdom of God that day. Aren't you glad that Jesus is into giving us a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a fifth chance? Aren't you glad that he is willing to give us a new start, a new beginning? That's grace. That's grace. But that's how Jesus rolls. Have you messed up? Or you know someone who has? God's not finished with you or them. God's not into cancel culture. God is in, he is into redemption, into new chances. Another kind of new beginning that God is into is giving us a shift in our lives. He's into giving us a new direction as a part of his plans and purposes. We can see this in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And this has to do with a man named Abram. It says here, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Abram was being sent away from everything, and all the people that he knew. He was being sent away on assignment from God. There are shifts that God brings about in our lives in order to accomplish his purposes. We can also look at Moses. He's out in the back 40 looking after sheep. But then God appeared to him in a burning bush, and he was given a new assignment. No longer was he called to be tending these woolly sheep. He was being sent to Pharaoh. He was being sent to Pharaoh as a part of God's plan to deliver the Israelites from slavery. These things that were happening to Abram and to Moses were vital to the kingdom of God. Has God spoken to you about a new assignment that he has for you in the past? Or is he speaking to you presently about a new assignment that he has for you? Well, if this has happened, then this is of huge significance to the kingdom. God doesn't do things willy-nilly. He does things with divine purpose. He does this for the reason that this will affect things for eternity. So if God has spoken to you, say yes. And then you can see God do his amazing thing in and through your life. Now there's a man who lived a while ago. His name is David Wilkerson. And his story can be found in the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. And his story is an example of all three new beginnings that we just spoke of. We're going to take a look here at the beginning of the book, and we're going to see how God spoke to him about a new assignment. And it says, this whole strange adventure got its start late one night when I was sitting in my study reading Life magazine and turned a page. At first glance, it seemed that there was nothing on the page to interest me. It carried a pen drawing of a trial taking place in New York City, 350 miles away. I'd never been to New York, and I never wanted to go except perhaps to see the Statue of Liberty. I started to flip the page over, but as I did, my attention was caught by the eyes of one of the figures in the drawing, a boy. One of seven boys on trial for murder. The artist had caught such a look of bewilderment and hatred and despair in his features that I opened the magazine wide again to get a closer look. And as I did, I began to cry. "What's the matter with me?" I said aloud, impatiently brushing away a tear. I looked at the picture more carefully. The boys were all teenagers. They were members of a gang called the Dragons. Beneath their picture was the story of how they had gone into Highbridge Park in New York and brutally attacked and killed a 15-year-old polio victim named Michael Farmer. The seven boys stabbed Michael in the back seven times with their knives and beat him over the head with garrison belts. They went away wiping blood through their hair, saying, "We messed him good." The story revolted me. It turned my stomach. In our little mountain town, such things seem mercifully unbelievable. That's why I was dumbfounded by a thought that sprang suddenly into my head. Full-blown, as though it had come into me from somewhere else. Go to New York City and help those boys. I laughed out loud. Me? Go to New York, a country preacher, barge into a situation he knows less than nothing about? Go to New York City and help those boys. The thought was still there, vivid as ever, apparently completely independent of my own feelings and ideas. I'd be a fool. I know nothing about kids like that. I don't want to know anything. It was no use. The idea would not go away. I was to go to New York. And furthermore, I was to go at once while the trial was still in progress. So here, David Wilkerson was in his back 40, as it were. He was in a situation where he was being told by God to leave that situation and go to New York City. He was being told to go to New York City in order to reach out to boys who were in great trouble with the law, gang members. That is definitely a new assignment, a brand new assignment. Now, why would God send Dave Wilkerson all the way there? Well, because God loved those gang members, and he wanted to reach them for the kingdom, and he was choosing David Wilkerson to go and be a part of this. Who is it that God is calling you to reach? In a new place, a new job, a new position, a new ministry. If God is speaking to your heart, We need to obey. You need to obey. God has a powerful work that he wants to do in and through you. Now, the new beginning with salvation takes place a little later in the book. One of the people that God had Dave Wilkerson meet was this gang leader called Nicky Cruz. And Nicky was not a nice guy. He even threatened to kill Dave. But look at what happens when Nicky encounters Jesus. The conversion hardest for me to believe was Nicky's. There he stood, a great grin on his face, saying in his strange, stammering way, "I'm giving my heart to God, Davy." I couldn't believe him. The change was too sudden. He was puffing his perpetual cigarette, the little jets of smoke streaming out the side of his mouth, telling me that something new had happened in his heart. What about the narcotics addiction? What about the stealing and the mugging, the heavy drinking, the stabbings, and the sadism? Nicky must have read my thoughts because he defended himself. "Davy, I've given my heart to God." "All right, Nicky, okay." I wanted to do something to give him confidence. So I asked him and Israel to come with me, and I found them. And each of the Mau Maus, this is the gang members, who had come forward, copies of the Bible. There were two sizes, little pocket editions and much larger ones. The boys didn't want the little ones. "Give us them big books, Davy, so people can see what we're carrying." And with that, most of the boys lit up cigarettes, tucked their Bibles under their arms, and walked out. That is a tremendous, tremendous transformation. Well, let's keep reading a little bit further. It was early the next morning that the phone call came. Mrs. Ortiz stuck her head in the door of my little room. "Davy, it's the police on the phone." "The police?" My heart sank, and when I stumbled out to the phone, the words I heard didn't make me feel any better. The lieutenant asked me if I knew the Mau Mau gang, and when I said that I did, he asked if I'd come right down. When I got to the Edward Street precinct, sure enough, there were a half dozen boys from the gang. I walked past them briskly and introduced myself at the desk. What happened next, I shall never forget. The desk sergeant called the lieutenant, and the lieutenant assembled the whole force. The lieutenant stuck out his hand. "Reverend, I want to shake your hand." I took his offer, and he pumped me firmly. "How'd you do it?" he asked. "These boys declared war on us a few months ago. They've given us nothing but trouble for years. Then this morning, they all troop in here, and you know what they want?" I shook my head. "They want us to autograph their Bibles." I looked at Nicky and Israel and the boys who were with them. They grinned at me. "Anytime we can help you set up another street meeting, Reverend, just let us know," said the lieutenant. And as we all stepped out onto the sidewalks of Brooklyn, I saw the sergeant sitting at his desk, shaking his head in wonder. Definitely a new beginning. Definitely brand new people, which is exactly what we read in the verse at the beginning. As it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And then we look at the area of having a do-over when you've messed up, a new chance. Well, let's take a look at Nicky. He says here, what about Nicky? Like Israel, Nicky is so excited about the Lord that he uses every occasion to tell of his experiences. He published his testimony in an international bestseller, Run, Baby, Run, and founded Nikki Cruz Outreach and TRUCE, which stands for To Reach Urban Children Everywhere, which trains inner-city youth in cities worldwide in aggressive outreach using the tools of urban music and the performing arts. He's been gripped since the early 1990s by a passion to instruct others in evangelism, and he has reached millions around the world. Nikki's messages touch on the harshness of street life and the horror of drugs, but his focus is always on the power available to anyone for the Christian walk. He has reached millions in youth rallies all over the world. Doesn't that sound like Peter in Acts, who got his do-over? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did for Peter, what he did for Nikki, he will do for you and me. God is into doing new things. Will you open your heart and let God do his new thing in and through you? He's willing if you're willing. So yes, let's remember that God will do a new beginning in the area of salvation, in shifting our relationship from not being a child of God to being a child of God and having all our sins forgiven, covered by his blood that was shed on the cross. We need to remember that when we mess up, even if it's horribly, absolutely horrifically, God still redeems. He still gives a second, third, fourth, fifth chance. He will redeem and restore us and give us a new opportunity to serve him. We also need to think about how God will give us a new assignment in our lives. God will shift things in our lives, remember, in order to accomplish his beautiful purposes. And by faith, when he does that, we need to say yes. I'm so grateful that God is a God of new beginnings. Let's pray as we close here. Lord Jesus, just want to thank you so much that you give us a new start, a new beginning in so many ways, Lord. Thank you for the gift of salvation, Lord. If there's someone who's listening who hasn't received you as Lord and Savior, I pray they would simply pray and ask your son Jesus to be their Lord and Savior and to forgive them of all their sins and to make them your child, Father. May they just acknowledge that they have sinned. They've lived a life of sin and they just want your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you will make them a new creation if they pray that, and that old things will pass away and all things will become new. Lord, for those of us who've messed up in small and tremendously big ways, Lord, we're so grateful that you give us another chance. You give us so many chances, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you will redeem and restore. And Lord, for anyone who's listening, who's in this position, I just pray you touch them right now by your Spirit, Lord, in a very powerful way. Let them know that you got them. You have their back, Lord. and that you're going to do a new thing. You're going to redeem and restore, and you're going to use them in beautiful and amazing ways. And thank you, Lord, for new assignments. Lord, I pray for everyone who's listening and just ask, Lord, that you would impart to them what they need to know about a new assignment. Whether it's one you've already spoken to them about or one you haven't, Lord, I pray you'd speak to each person listening and they would hear clearly, Lord, what you're saying about any new assignment that you have for them. And I pray they would have a heart to say, yes, Jesus, and that they would walk out in obedience to you. That, Lord, I thank you that as they walk in obedience to what you're calling them to, Lord, I thank you that you've got amazing things that you want to do to reach people, Lord, who need to know you, who need to know how to walk with you. I thank you for all this, God. And so, Father, we pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you in the rest of your day and the rest of this week.